Our children are growing up before our very eyes. As they get bigger, so do the challenges they face. They're working out who they think they are, surrounded by opinions, friends, and so many screens. The world around them seems really loud. As those who love them, we can help them hear their loving Heavenly Father's voice as we share God's good story for growing up with them. Our brand new series of podcasts for parents and families are here to help. It's part of our Growing Up resources. There are 7 episodes just for parents as we hear from the experts, understand the issues, and remind our own hearts of the good story. And 6 kids episodes for the whole family to enjoy together, packed with fun facts, Bible truth, and great questions to get you talking. Together, let's start good conversations with our children about bodies, gender, and marriage. They're growing up, so come on, let's share God's good story. Don't miss an episode of this exciting series. Head to faithinkids.org for all the details about growing up.
Hello, this is the Faith in Parents podcast. I'm Ed Drew, the director of Faith in Kids.
I'm James Carey. I'd like to give myself an honorary title. I'm a head of podcasts.
Please be head of podcasts.
I'm head of podcasts here at Faith in Kids.
It's great to have you, Jam. We are looking forward to the summer holidays. So when this drops as a podcast, I think summer holidays will have just begun, or at least children's school holidays will have just begun.
Yeah. Although, weirdly...
Yes.
You get the longest day in June, and part of you can just go, well, it's all downhill from here.
if you're English,
and the summer hasn't even really started yet. I always think of like August, the 1st of August is like the height of summer, but actually the longest day is middle of June,
and maybe the summer has been and gone by the 1st of August.
I hope you enjoyed it. Jump! What was that? That was your summer, mate.
Yeah, we embrace that.
Yeah,
we thought we would give you 4 tips to enjoying a summer holiday as a family who are Christians. I'm reluctant to call it a Christian holiday because that makes us all wonder what Ed has in mind.
Yeah. Is it a camp?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Does it have a strange routine that involves a bell at 7 o'clock?
Yeah.
I don't mean that.
No.
I just mean we're Christians, and we're Christians on holiday. We love Jesus, and he's the same whether we're in Blackpool, the south of France, or the Isle of Wight.
Yeah. He is in all those places.
He is.
Yeah.
So here's my first one.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. The Bible is clear. Rest is a thing. Rest is real. When God told us to take a Sabbath, he's saying, I want you to stop working. And I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me that you have worked enough. And if you do nothing, the world won't fall apart because he has it. And I think I do know, I remember one family saying they couldn't really take a 2-week holiday because one parent would just find the second week impossible not to be thinking about work all the time.
Oh, wow.
That's not necessarily ungodliness.
Yeah.
There are all sorts of causes of
that. That would be the case for my parents. They were dairy farmers.
Mm.
We were never away as a family for 2 weeks. Mm. I don't remember because...
And there's good reasons for that.
Yes, you have to milk cows twice a day.
Yeah.
And they really won't wait. And you have to pay someone else to do it if you don't do it. So
there are some people who would fairly be screaming at the podcast, Ed, live in the real world.
Yeah.
I can't take 2 weeks off.
Yeah, it's fine. And actually, the other thing for me is it takes me at least 3 days to stop thinking about work. And therefore, to go on holiday for only a week, actually... by Thursday, I actually feel like I'm on holiday. The last thing I want to do is go home on Friday, Saturday. I kind of need, but I rarely take 2 weeks, but, you know, there we go.
And, Jan, when I say enjoy your rest, enjoy your holiday, you have said for you, that's not so easy.
Well, I find holidays slightly stressful because they are uncertain. And I'm sort of worried, is my family going to enjoy it? We're going to a hotel, I've not booked it before, or going to a place, or going to stay in a friend's house, or going to whatever it is, there is uncertainty in it. And actually, I like the certainty of my own house. And there are no variables really at home, or don't feel like that. So I find holidays a little bit of a stress anyway, because I know there are certain expectations. That's one thing. And I've never really felt like I needed holidays, because also I have quite a nice life anyway, because I quite like my job. And so,
which is Jem?
I'm a script writer, theoretically. Yeah. So I feel like I'm getting away with it. And to take a holiday from my job, it's already a dream job for some people. So what on earth do you think you're doing?
Yeah.
So there are a number of factors at play, but it's mostly for me the uncertainty of, I don't know what the place is going to be like, and is there going to be enough to do, and will we end up just sort of getting in a bit of a funk? And we've come home from holidays early at least two or three times, where we've just thought, we've got to Thursday and just thought, we don't actually like it here very much, and we've run out of things to do, and suddenly home seemed an awful lot better. So,
and you still take your holiday, you're just at home for it.
We're just then at home, just thinking, oh, it's lovely.
And you fight the temptation to go back to your desk?
Yes, a little bit. Yeah, but that's the other problem, isn't it, of course, is that your email follows you.
It does now.
It does now. And we've got to be able to do something about that, haven't we?
Mm. So, and I think that's part of what I think I'm saying, which is, to be a Christian parent is your children, as in every aspect of life, are learning from you.
Yeah.
And it's painful to say it, but that's not a burden. That is the reality, is they are learning from you what is a holiday.
Yeah.
And they are learning from you what is a Christian on holiday. And they notice if you do as much email on holiday as you do at home. And they also notice if you're a grump more on holiday than at home. And probably we just have to examine our own hearts to understand what are we, as you have just expressed,
yeah,
something of what it is to examine your heart, to understand the uncertainty you feel. And I leave it to you to decide what you tell yourself with that uncertainty. I'm sure there is a Christian response to that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the first idea. Enjoy the rest. It is God-given. Yeah.
And you might need to decide to do that.
That is it.
It might not come naturally.
Yeah. There's a reason why take a Sabbath is a commandment rather than a just see how you go. Yeah. Sabbath's a nice idea.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Secondly, this is sad. Problems go with you. You are still you on holiday as you were at home. Your children are still your children on holiday as they were at home. I remember an Easter holiday where I was shocked and appalled that my children needed my time, my care, discipline, patience on holiday. And for some reason, that one holiday, it surprised me. Maybe it's because the place we were in Wales was more beautiful. And I somehow thought this beauty deserved better behaviour from my children.
And it would somehow seep into their psyche.
Look.
Yeah.
God has done this.
Yes.
Why is your heart still the heart you had when we were at home?
Yeah.
And sin is ridiculous. But I just our children still need parenting. And Paul Tripp, it's a striking line. If your children didn't need parents, God wouldn't have given them to you. No, they need parents because they need parenting. So all of that sounds obvious and painful, but perhaps it just means as you go away on holiday, you don't prepare your heart for a period of total selfishness where you are the consumer and the world revolves around you. But we are blessed by God. We are having a holiday. That is wonderful. Our family need Jesus. My heart needs Jesus on holiday.
Yeah. And you want to be, and it may be that you think, oh, wouldn't it be much better if I had more time to do the things I want to do on holiday? And you think, well, actually, it won't be long and that's all you'll have. Do you know what I mean?
Clearly.
Once your kids are, 18, you might still be paying for their holidays on the bank of dad or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But actually, you've got a long time to go on holiday and literally just please yourself. So be very careful that you don't want that too soon.
Yes. And as you look forward to the next stage, believing it will be wonderful.
Yeah.
I remember friends telling me the shock on holiday that every single night their children are up later than they were because they're teenagers. they have more energy. They can chat and enjoy each other.
Yeah.
And the idea that you're saying to your children every single night, it's not a school night, sleep well, I'll see you in the morning, probably, when you get up at midday. And it's a different stage of life. And it's to be enjoyed in different ways.
Yeah.
I'm slightly jealous they have proper conversations with their children and they don't have to talk about eating up your greens.
Yeah, well... Or maybe they've given up that battle.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So that's the second one. You go on holiday.
Mm.
Thirdly, conversations happen. That is, on holiday, you have more time. And so I think probably unexpected conversations happen more. So the one I'm thinking of particularly, there's a blog on the Faith in Kids website about this, is our most significant conversations about sex and that sort of thing happen on holiday. Often because my parents-in-law live next door to a field of cows. And we drive past more cows' fields and more cows on top of each other on holiday. And that leads to more conversations with 5- and 7-year-olds than it does at home in a city.
Yeah,
that's one example. And so there's a part of you thinking, we're on holiday. I don't want to have a deliberate, thoughtful conversation.
Right.
I'll talk about this when we get home.
No, there won't be time at home.
No.
Now, do it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've just come back from a holiday, Jam.
Yeah.
Were you struck by a particular conversation?
I was struck by how we were together. I know it sounds silly. We were together for the whole holiday because we just went on a sort of, we went on a bit of a road trip around the UK. And it was, you know, and we all shared a room. We all shared a family room in a hotel. Some friends of ours say that they like to go, they just stay in a travelodge, and it's basically, think of it as camping. There are four of you in a room, but you happen to have a bathroom. And I think that's quite a good way of looking at it. But yeah, you switch the light out at the same time. So my kids are old enough to stay up till about 9, 9:30. And for us as grown-ups, you just think, oh, we could turn the light out at 9:30. That'd be amazing. We're exhausted. Of course, then we couldn't get to sleep at the same time. But it was fine.
Do you have strange conversations with the light?
Yeah, but just that, and then in the car as well, and not so much, but some of the lights were out. But yeah, you just have time together to talk and reflect on things. But actually, it's very easy to tread on those conversations. It does take, again, it's a bit of a decision to say, oh, that's a good question. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And then wait for them to ask another question. And sometimes you can see a question formulating in their head and they're trying to work out how to ask it because they haven't thought about these things before.
Mm.
And holidays are the time, I think, particularly to do that.
Mm. And if you have more than one child, that might just mean you ask one child to be quiet while the first child has a moment to talk and take their idea.
Yeah.
That's the third idea. Conversations happen. Fourth idea is... plan for holiday. I think is a common thing I hear that people come back from holidays and say, oh, we've missed church.
Mm.
And, oh, you know, we never opened our Bible. We never said a prayer. Or, you know, we thank God for food.
Yeah.
And it might be that you are going away to more beautiful places than the place you live. And even plan that when you're on top of a hill, when you're sitting by a lake, when you're sitting on a beach, there will just be a moment of, why don't we just thank God for 5 things that we've loved today? Because often holidays are full of good things.
Mm.
And you are saying to your children, will you thank me for that ice cream? We could all say, why don't we thank God for that ice cream or something equivalent? It might be that you just, we're going to have some blog posts coming up with some resources reviewed, some Bible times. It doesn't have to be onerous. It doesn't even have to be every day. But perhaps you even say on Sunday.
Yeah.
We will just take the time to sit down as a family for 20 minutes and we'll open a passage and we'll just say, what do we think then, kids? You don't even need a Bible resource. Imagine that. Just a Bible.
Yeah.
Read a story and come up with a simple question for each of you to answer, including parents, because we talk about a lot. It's great for children to see parents stuck, wondering aloud, praying, thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you've got to plan to do these things because they don't happen naturally because there's always something else to do on holiday. It is a sign of spiritual warfare. It's just the number of things that will stop you from praying as a family, that will stop you from opening your Bible. Mm. You know, anything becomes endlessly fascinating to stop you from doing that. And so you do have to plan.
Mm. And we are helping you to plan.
Yes. Well, one thing is, before we get to that.
Yes.
So another thing is just to listen to some music in the car. Listen to have a Christian CD, but also Christian podcasts. So, and we've got something on that, haven't we?
We have. I should say, I'm not sure if my children, it'll still be the case, but certainly when they were under seven, under eight, we used to go on long journeys and they would predictably be asleep for an hour.
Yeah.
And that, so we used to try to download three or four sermons.
Right.
Maybe from a Bible conference. There's so many good ones around. And that was a great discipline for my wife and I, the chance to listen to a sermon, which we didn't often do together, to the point where we had time afterwards to talk about it rather than go and get coffee. And
There
are many ways that we can plan on holiday. Without it, we don't, you know, it's, when you take 12 books away, you feel disappointed when you only read one. You don't need to take 12 sermons away with you, but to take two, to take one Christian book, to take one Christian CD.
And then you can get the Faith in Kids summer series.
We have. We are producing six podcasts for the summer. We've called it Travelling with Jesus, and it is Travelling with Jesus 2. We've recorded three today, Travelling with Jesus to the river for his baptism in the Jordan, Travelling with Jesus to the desert for his temptation, Travelling with Jesus to a big house for the calling of Matthew, and so on. We have six of these. The idea for these is, in my mind, they're for you to listen to in a car. They're about quarter of an hour, maybe 20 minutes. If you listen to our Faith in Kids podcasts, they resemble that, but we've changed the format a bit. We'd love to hear from you. Changed it up. But there are still sketches. There's still Bible readings. There's still a thought. There's still some questions for you to ponder. There's still a new format of fun facts. So we hope this is something for a car journey, something for sitting by a beach even, when you can listen to it together as a family and have a chat.
That's the idea. And it'll hopefully just fuel the conversation that might just kickstart something, a moment. And either you can, I guess, stock them up and listen to one a day on your holiday or whatever it is, but or you can just sort of munch through them over the summer. But that's the idea, is there'll be one a week for the 6 weeks of the summer holidays. And we really hope you like them.
That'd be excellent.
Yeah.
Now, Jam, I think we're done.
I think we are. This is a short Faith in Parents podcast.
Because it's a summer holiday and you haven't got time to listen.
Well, yes.
You're busy being rested.
Yeah. But also it means that you've got time to maybe, you've recently discovered the podcast, you can go back and listen to your favourite one again.
Yes.
Or listen to ones you haven't heard yet. There are lots of those.
If you haven't listened to Tim Chester, that's one we're hearing a lot of comments about at the moment. We're also hearing about, this one is coming after two from LoveWise.
Yeah.
And people have been really appreciative to hear how an expert is encouraging them as parents that they can talk about sex, gender, sexuality.
Yeah.
Such hot topics.
Yeah.
And after this one, over the summer, is our interview with Sandy Galea, who we flew over from Australia to do 2 weeks of training for us.
Yeah.
And those podcasts contain some of the core elements that she was speaking to parents about.
Yeah. There's loads of stuff in those to come, which is very exciting. And also, if you think there's what else could we talk about that you would think would be useful, do send us an email, podcast@faithinkids.org would be really good. As you would, did anything come up as you were traveling around the country with Sandy, Ed? You've sort of, you know, the big day out, you go around. I mean,
yes.
What were you hearing? What were the questions? What kept coming up?
I think the thing that people said most often after hearing Sandy was Sandy is particularly good at just simply telling encouraging stories and stories that inspire and help people to have a vision for what they're doing. And I was struck again that what that really says is Christian parenting and Christian ministry to families in churches, it's not complicated. But what is a challenge, I think, is to give people a vision for it. So without the burden, you know, there's an element where this this podcast, you know, four things to think about on summer holiday, I already am thinking to myself, have we just loaded another burden onto parents?
Mm.
I feel quite attuned to that because people I respect very much often say, Ed, parents are feeling tired and guilty.
Yeah.
And lift the burden, give them a bigger vision, a better vision.
Yeah.
And encourage them that they're doing it. To live as a Christian before your children is wonderful and it's a fight worth fighting. So I think that's a prompt to all of us to tell our stories. When there was an encouragement on holiday, share it. Email it to a couple of friends. Not as, look what we've achieved, but just simply, my kids have got something. We had a great conversation.
Yeah.
And let's do that.
Maybe you could email their godparents or something.
Yeah.
Because it's the sort of thing that you want to share with someone, but you don't want to put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because A, it's too personal maybe, and B, it just looks like bragging, or B, C, you're ashamed of it. It's not. It's quite the opposite.
Yes.
And so I think we think that social media will help us and encourage us in this. But actually, in this particular thing, I'm not sure necessarily that it does. And so maybe we should be a bit more just checking in with other people, other members of our house group maybe, or just, you know, your bridesmaids from your wedding, your best men, your best man, your ushers, your people like that, and just say, how you doing? How's it going?
Yeah. And Sandy calls it godly gossip, good gossip.
Yeah.
And I think the contrast to this, you touched on it, is the social media photo of your children in ironed white clothes standing in front of a crystal beach.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just going to gently say, I'm not sure it is that encouraging for everyone who sees it.
Yeah.
But if they love you, it is a little encouraging to see you are happy and you have white ironed clothes on.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think true encouragement comes from, we're loving one another, we're being patient with one another, despite the problems.
Yeah.
And it hasn't always been white with ironed creases.
Yeah. And also, I mean, on that, I stopped putting pictures of my kids on Facebook at least 5 years ago, if not 7 or 8 years ago, because they haven't chosen to do that.
Yes.
And even if they did, they don't know what they're choosing. So, sorry, no. But yeah, no, social media is a whole other topic for a whole other episode.
It is, and we're not going to have it.
We're not going to have it, but it has the illusion of being encouraging, and it isn't always, and therefore maybe some private emails or just some chats, some phone, you know. Some people like speaking on the phone. I don't know who they are, but some people actually like phone conversations. So that's something to think about. Ed's flicking to a Bible now, and you're going to encourage us with something, aren't you? I know you, Ed. That's what you do.
I'm going to give you one verse, and then I'm going to pray. Maybe two verses. John 10:10 says this. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Take that verse on holiday with you. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that Christ came that we might have life to the full. We thank you he is our good shepherd. We thank you that to be with our good shepherd on holiday is life to the full. It is not a burden. It is not a set of rules. It is not a sense of failure. It is not a sense of getting the holiday wrong. Father, to go on holiday with Christ as our good shepherd is to have life to the full. We do pray, Father, that we would have stories to tell of how we have seen something of what life to the full looks like with our normal families, with our normal difficulties, with our expected stresses and strains, but to know that Christ is for us. Would we be for Christ this holiday? Thank you, Father, that he is our good shepherd. Amen.
Amen. Thanks very much for listening. Please do send us an email, podcast@faithandkids.org. Also, you could support Faith in Kids in some way or another.
That'd you really good, can. There's a donate button on our website.
Yeah. If you enjoy these summer series, that would be good if you could contribute to them, because we do pay people to make them and to do them, and you know, stuff happens.
We do.
So that would be much appreciated, because we're not pulling money out of thin air here. So it would be great if you could support that. That would be really good.
And it is wildly encouraging when the letter arrives by email normally saying we have a new supporter, donor, prayer.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And just the stories are encouraging too, aren't they?
To keep telling us those stories. Yeah. I love that. The postcard that arrived from an 8-year-old who loves our Faith in Kids podcast. My heart bursts with joy. Who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't?
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.